91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today we welcome back Alan Susser, and he'll talk about the region's premier culinary benefit dedicated to ending childhood hunger, Share Our Strengths, Taste of the Nation, South Florida. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the Filmed in Broward series coming to Fort Lauderdale starting July 9th. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Broward County Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News.
Ed Bell's South Florida Arts Beat, which airs each Friday at 1 p.m., is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
Have a banana. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to Gravy Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste of bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Thank you, Cab Calloway. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, film critic of PunchDrunkMovies.com, Dan Hudak, previews the Filmed in Broward series coming to Fort Lauderdale July 9th. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. A recent Alternet.org article mentioned that America's wealth grew by 60% in the past 6 years, by over $30 trillion. In approximately the same time, the number of homeless children has grown by 60%. In 2007, about 12 out of every 100 kids were on food stamps. Today, it's 20 out of every 100 children. Homelessness is directly related to hunger in our country. No child should grow up hungry in America. That's the mission of the not-for-profit Share Our Strength. Unfortunately, one child in five struggles with hunger in our country. My first guest today, together with his friends who share that mission, are holding their annual South Florida fundraiser, the 27th Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation South Florida, Thursday, July 16th, from 7 to 10 p.m. in the main ballroom of the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. Close to 50 of Miami-Dade and Broward County's hottest restaurants are participating, together with top chefs, sommeliers, mixologists, and brewers. The theme this year is South Beach Chic, Food, Wine, and Art. Silent and live auctions will raise funds for Share Our Strength, and an interactive art display will showcase local artists. There will also be a beer garden co-curated by the Miami Herald's food editor, Evan Ben, and chef Brett Pelagi. Christened by the New York Times as the Ponce de Leon of New Florida Cooking and the James Beard Award-winning founding event chairman of the Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation South Florida, joining us today is the renowned chef, Mr. Alan Susser. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Alan.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Ed. This is a great venue, and you do some wonderful things for the community. And just helping me share my excitement about this Taste of the Nation event is really wonderful.
You are excited about that, and that's marvelous. Take me back. Tell me about the Share Our Strength organization and the No Kid Hungry campaign. Where and when was it organized?
Well, it's an event that, as you said, 27 years ago we started this. It was organized out of D.C. Billy Shure and his sister started this event. It's a very close to the heart of taking care of kids, taking care of how do we feed kids so that they're our future. And so that over the years, they've got they've aligned a lot of great chefs all across the country to each do their own food event in each city. So right now we do about 30 or 40 different food events like Taste the Nation, like what we're doing here on July 16th, our Taste the Nation event. And so that it's a nonprofit. It's one where we help people, we help kids, and also once in a while we help disaster relief, mm-hmm. as in with Hurricane Katrina.
Really?
We went in there and helped. And we actually go on and do some missions where we go in and actually as leaders of the Taste the Nation from each of the different cities, we meet and collaborate on best practices and trying to get our ideas together so that if someone's doing something wonderful in New Orleans or San Francisco or Denver or D.C. or New York City, we all share that. And so that, again, we sort of grow it and develop it. And working together with great leaders across the countries, generally chefs, restaurateurs, hoteliers, really great hospitality people.
Were the original founders restaurateurs? Or?
No. No, they love to eat, and they realized that there were a lot of people who weren't eating and wanted to align some chefs and get us to share our strength. And that's really where the name came from, so that as chefs, we cook, we care, we create, and if we can cook to raise money to fight hunger, what a wonderful thing. So that's kind of where it developed from.
And certainly needed. More info, of course, at ce.nokidhungry.org/South Florida or nokidhungry.org. What a fantastic network, Alan. Apparently, 100% of your ticket proceeds benefit the No Kid Hungry campaign. What does that specifically do for hungry kids in South Florida as well as across the nation?
Well, first, let me talk about the 100%, because that is something very strong that the chefs believe in, because we're giving our time, our energy, our resources, our creativity, our food. And so that every guest that comes in, every dollar that they pay for the ticket goes to fighting hunger.
Bravo.
And that means that there is not anything siphoned off for any other purpose. So the idea of coming in and supporting us is supporting the kids 100%. So that has been a great mantra for years of getting chefs to participate, because that they know that it's not their time and energy is not being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And also the guests really feel good about knowing that their money is going 100% to the right place. And a lot of it does stay here, right here in South Florida.
Good.
A lot of it, of what it is, doesn't go to feeding directly as towards buying foods, but we do work with food banks. Mm. We do work with government agencies. One of the most successful campaigns that we've been doing right now is in-school breakfast.
Ah.
And the idea of this in-school breakfast is that 100% of the kids in school can eat breakfast in their first period. They're getting a hot meal. What's happening is way over a majority of the kids get to school on time because they're having breakfast in their first room period, so that they're ready to learn, they're eating, they're getting a nutritious breakfast, and they're not getting sick because they're feeling better, they're getting better nutrition, they're getting better and ready to learn. So if they're ready to learn and not worried about where their breakfast is or where their next meal is, they're really much more equipped to take in the whole environment of learning and bringing in the skills. And so that both in camaraderie and building relations between them and socialization, as well as being ready to learn. And those kids are our future. We need them to be sharp and bright and ready to take on the leadership role.
Sure, it's hard to learn on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Now, your sponsors make it possible for your ticket proceeds to help the No Kid Hungry program. Who are your sponsors this year?
Good. It's true. The sponsors is where our money comes from. So that nationally, we have Citi and Cisco. We also have a sponsorship from Food Network and Open Table. Locally, though, which is really important, we do Nestle Waters, Brustman Carino Public Relations, Panache, Miami New Times, the Miami Herald, as well as the Lowe's Miami Beach, Mike Sipes. These people have been really, really wonderful and helpful. They give, some of them are giving dollars, some are giving in-kind donations, but a lot of them are giving their actual time and energy. Their staff from these companies are participating as part of our committee that runs and develops it. To put on an event like this, the committee actually starts about 8 to 9 months beforehand, talking about the event, getting us organized, putting out invites to the chefs, getting the logistics of it, and so that there's a lot of work that these guys do as volunteers, as sponsors, to give their dollars and give their energy and their commitment to fighting hunger. And that's really great.
Marvelous commitment. Alan Susser, how effective do you think the No Kid program has been in South Florida? And perhaps you can answer that throughout the country.
Sure. Well, they've taken surveys, and they say actually about like 76% of public school teachers report students coming to school regularly hungry, and so that these kids are being taken care of in their homerooms and first classes. The ability to feed kids has been an important thing that we do, and it's been a tremendous success for us. We do, it's not only that, we do a couple of other programming types of things that is really good to teach them, a program like Cooking Matters. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
We wanted to hear about that.
Good. Well, Cooking Matters is a program that we do and we sponsor through Flippany, which is our local organization here that does it. And so what we do is a chef volunteers to teach kids and also at-risk women how to get better economy to their food purchases and to their eating habits. Mm-hmm. So that we do a 5 to 6 week itinerary of starting off with taking them to the grocery store to see what the value is in the grocery store, how to buy fresh ingredients and not processed and products that are have all sorts of additives and non-nutritive things in there. I'm talking about how to buy fresh chicken, how maybe to buy a whole chicken as opposed to boneless, skinless breast. If you do the work, you're actually, the differential is three times the value to get a whole chicken. And you could probably make three meals out of a whole chicken as opposed to the one time that you'll buy a boneless, skinless breast. And so that we go over the economy of how to buy fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, fresh poultry and meats.
You've always been big on local.
Yeah. Local is important. And with this program, as well as what I do, local and sustainable, dealing with farmers markets, we actually share with them how to go to a farmers market and buy in season. Because usually, again, that's part of the value. If you buy in season, it's probably the highest quality at the lowest price. And if you're supporting a local farmer, it's a win-win-win all the way around. And I'll tell you what, it's probably the most delicious food when it's local, when it's fresh, when it's high season, and it's the lowest price. So
as we'll
happens.
Find at your wonderful restaurants, the Cafe at Books and Books, we hope to mention in our next segment among a number of your other wonderful restaurants. That is the Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation, South Florida, Thursday, July 16th, 7 to 10 p.m., main ballroom of the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. More info at ce.nokidhungry.org/South Florida and more info at nokidhungry.org. We'll have our second segment with the wonderful chef Alan Susser in just a moment. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. And we have 21 minutes past the hour. Ed Bell with you here on South Florida Arts Beat. And our guest, the esteemed chef, restaurateur, Mr. Alan Susser. He's the event chairman for the 27th annual Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation South Florida and a founding event chairman. It takes place Thursday, July 16th from 7 to 10 p.m. in the main ballroom of the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. Once again, more info at nokidhungry.org. It is a benefit for that marvelous not-for-profit organization, part of Share our taste. Now, Alan, tell me, what are some of the restaurants that will be featured at Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation South Florida this year?
Okay, we've got a commanding performance by the top chefs in Miami. Mm. I'll tell you what, if you're eating out on July 16th, you only want to be here at the Taste of the Nation because we've got all the top chefs.
Is the room big enough?
The room is big enough. The egos are in check because their food is delicious, and I'll tell you what, they're there. So we've got, you know, from the chefs, you know, like from Blue Collar, as well as Izzy's Fish and Oyster. You got Joe's Stone Crab, Little Palm Island, Lure at the Lowe's. Mikado is there, as well as Lamar. The restaurants, American Social, Black Brick Chinese as well. We've got just a tremendous list of folks. Mignonette, Norman Loves Confections, as well as the Palm d'Or at the Biltmore, Strip Steak at the Fountain Blue, the Dutch, the Forge. These guys are all coming out, and it's wonderful. Yardbird, Southern Table, and Bar. And so that's the main event. But I'll tell you what, if you buy a VIP ticket, and there you're going to get a little bit of special attention, because by buying a VIP ticket, you actually have access to all these chefs, these 50 chefs, an hour ahead. So it's a private tasting for these chefs, so that you're only amongst, instead of the vast numbers of
folks.
Oh,
you get in a little early.
You get in an hour early.
Wow, that's worth it.
Yeah. And and then actually afterwards, after the event, we have another event, which is a Chefs on the Half Shell, where we're going to be featuring oysters from a number of the local restaurants and champagne, so that you both get in early. You have a priority in that, as well as you get an invite to a special chef's after party where you can get to hang out, eat, and drink with the chefs as they let their hair down. And so the VIP is really the way to go. It's a little bit more, but the dollars are worth it. The value that we give you on it is wonderful, and you get treated like a VIP.
It's going to a great cause as well. Now, I know in the South Beach of Wine and Food Festival, that production involves probably thousands of people. How many people are involved in this year's production of Share Our Strength, and do you use students from the local culinary schools as well?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. We actually have a committee of about 20 people that from all walks of life that organize it. If you add up the 50 chefs and their folks, you probably have about another 150 people.
The chefs bring some of their own staff?
They bring their own staff as well to help. And then a school like FIU, which has been tremendous for a lot of years for us. Professor Mike Moran, who is a chef there, he brings out his students to help. They help load in, they help organize, they help distribute foods and ice and paper goods, but also they work the station. So their interaction is with the chefs as well as with the guests, so that they get to learn a little bit about what hospitality is about. They also get to understand that going to school is not about getting a job or going into the hospitality, that as a chef, as a restaurateur, you actually need to give back to the community. Mm. So their sense of understanding of the business, the hospitality business, they get to understand that what we do is we give back to the community when we can. We serve the community in our restaurants, and we're happy about it. We're thrilled to cook for them and thrilled to make great parties and make some fun things for them. But at the same time, we love to do that same type of thing and do a Taste of the Nation where we're giving back to the community and we're helping our kids. Well, we're helping our kids.
That's magnificent, because it's a full circle really there.
Yeah, and actually a couple of the chefs on the committee have joined the committee because they've got young kids. Hmm. They have 5-year-olds, 7-, 10-year-olds, and they look at their kids and go like, they're lucky that their kids live in their house, but their neighbors and their friends may not have food on their table, and they realize that they can help, and just take care of their kids, they can take care of our neighbors' kids and our neighborhood, and taking care of our community here in South Florida, and that's why chefs join, and that's why chefs participate in this, because they recognize the value of feeding kids.
Chef Alan Susser, what are your hopes for this year's fundraising results? And how can our listeners help out Share Our Strengths mission?
Okay, well, we raise money through sponsorship as well as ticket sales and live auction and silent auction. So overall, we're looking to hopefully raise about $150,000, which is a great value, a lot of money, a lot of hard work for that. And if people want to, they can buy tickets for the event. They could donate directly to Share Our Strength or Taste of the Nation. The campaign is No Kid Hungry. They can go to shareourstrength.org or nokidhungry.org and donate right there. They can find out about other cities that are doing these events and participate there. They could join as volunteers. They can join the committee as well. Or maybe they've got a great someone listening has a great thing that they could donate for a silent auction, for a great trip for a live auction. These are things that when the community comes forward, it really adds to the value and it adds to the strength that we build.
Now, can people become members of Share Our Strength?
Yes.
Does it have a membership program?
It's a participation program where you can get a monthly newsletter as towards the different events that are going on, different things that are happening within our community as well as around the country, and different legislation and that we're working to work with as well as different events. So, yeah, absolutely, there's a lot of ways to participate.
Well, hopefully your membership is growing.
Absolutely.
It's a marvelous organization. Yeah. Now, Chef Alan Susser, tell me about your new restaurant, the Celebrated Cafe at Books and Books at the beautiful Arch. You're in that wonderful old Sears Tower, which they saved.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's now called the Carnival Tower, and it was built the same year as the Empire State Building.
Oh, really?
1929.
Wow.
So it's one of the original Art Deco buildings in South Florida, in Miami. So it's a keystone. It's a jewel there. And so what we're doing is serving great, delicious cafe food at the Cafe at Books and Books. We focus on it being a community restaurant. My partner, Mitchell Kaplan, has been great with bringing in the books and artists and authors. And so that with the art exposure of the Arch Center and the performances, we do a lot of local and fresh foods and foods, interesting tartines, which are open-faced sandwiches. I do a shrimp and avocado tartine with a saffron aioli, one of my favorites. Also do some interesting snacks and sliders and burgers and fish sandwiches. But most importantly, we focus on the farm fresh ingredients, local and sustainable seafood. And so that to me, if you've got great ingredients, you start off with great technique and you're cooking for wonderful people, it's a great time. And that's really what we do at the Cafe of Books and Books.
I bet
it's
you've
a lot
got
of fun.
I bet you've got a killer mango salsa.
Oh, you know it.
tell me about that a little bit, if you would.
Of course. Well, I mentioned my fish sandwich actually goes with a mango salsa.
Ooh.
So it's mangoes and jicama as well as red.
Jicama.
A nice little crunch
in
that. A little rice wine vinegar and champagne vinegar along with some scotch bonnets and cilantro. I'll tell you what. You know we're in mango season here. You know I'm a mango nut, and so that it's just a mango party. And that with a nice, fresh, locally caught mahi-mahi on the bun with a tartar sauce with tarragon in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you find most of your customers, the theater goers, coming to the Arch, or is the local community supporting?
Interesting enough, during theater season, we get a lot of folks who come to theater, and they come pre-theater as well as post-theater.
Oh, good. You're open.
Yeah, we're open 7 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the Cafe at Books and Books, so that we do get the theater crowd, but we're also initiating the local movement of people in the neighborhood who've never had this type of a restaurant, a cafe for great breakfast. We've got great coffee there, Metropolis coffee that's hand-roasted for us in Chicago, and we bring that in weekly, so we make great coffees and cappuccinos and Criollo chocolate cafes and some really wonderful things like that. Lunches. It's a secret hideaway, I'll tell you what. It's one of those really nice places for lunch. meet people from downtown or just walk in from the neighborhood, and then dinner as well. We're finding a lot of nice people. On Mondays, we do a farmer's market dinner.
I was going to ask you about the farmer's market.
The farmer's market dinner is every Monday, and so that I do a farmer's market table.
That's right outside your cafe.
Right outside on the corner of 13th Street and Biscayne Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And we set up a five-course vegetarian dinner.
Ooh.
So that it's a lot of fun. It's a community dinner, so we serve it family style.
Oh.
But there's... It's like endless, because what I do is I go to the market right in front of us and I buy the fruits and vegetables for that dinner. So it's that day's inspiration, fresh, crisp, and delicious, cooking it. And then I come out and explain my inspirations and talk about the whole dinner throughout and match that with wines or beers, depending on what it is that day. And it's a great Monday party every Monday. It's been wonderful.
Sounds wonderful. I'm just drooling here. In our last few moments with Chef Alan Susser, tell me about Chef Alan's to-go when you're walking through the Fort Lauderdale Airport. We can enjoy your cuisine?
You can as well.
Wow.
Fort Lauderdale Airport in Terminal 3, JetBlue Terminal. I actually do a kosher to-go.
Hmm.
So it's the only kosher food south of New York City at an airport. And so that it's a great opportunity. And though it's kosher, I really look at it, it's delicious, well-prepared food in a kosher style. And it's strictly kosher, but you don't have to be kosher to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So people
Where have I heard
love that. Yeah. I think it's a rye bread that we talk about, right?
Well, it's always a delight to have the wonderful Chef Alan Susser joining us here on South Florida Arts Beat. Of course, we're interested in the Share Our Strengths Taste of the Nation, the 27th annual South Florida version, coming up Thursday, July 16th, 7 to 10 p.m., once again in the main ballroom of the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. It's for such a good and decent cause. More info at ce.nokidhungry.org/South Florida, and more info at nokidhungry.org. Chef Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, Ed, a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.
South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken dishes up a word on food, and our Broward Arts calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, our film critic Dan Hudak takes a look at a collaboration between the Broward 100 and the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival.
In 2005, the Sun Sentinel asked me to write an on-location profile of the film Hoot while it was shooting in Fort Lauderdale. I was there for work, but admittedly it was fun to visit the Riverbend Marina near Davie Boulevard and watch star on the rise Logan Lerman look intently at a group of snakes that refused to move around to director Will Schreiner's satisfaction. At the time, it was one of three films shooting in South Florida, the others being Miami Vice with Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx, and a little scene indie with Judah Friedlander called Full Grown Men. Hoot wasn't a box office success, but it will be back on the big screen July 11th as part of the week-long Filmed in Broward screening series at Cinema Paradiso in Fort Lauderdale, which is highlighting notable titles, young and old, that were shot in Broward County and throughout South Florida. The screenings are part of the Broward 100 sanctioned events that are celebrating the arts of Broward County throughout the year, culminating in a grand finale in October this year. The screening series begins Thursday, July 9th with Bart Got a Room and Martin Scorsese's Cape Fear, and concludes July 16th with Caddyshack and a closing night party. Best of all, the screenings are free. The film that probably best exemplifies the very early cinematic virtues and appeal of Fort Lauderdale is Where the Boys Are, the 1960 coming-of-age comedy starring George Hamilton that's part of a day full of screenings and a hot dog and hamburger cookout on Saturday, July 11th. The story follows four college girls who travel to Fort Lauderdale for spring break, meet boys, and get into trouble. highlighted by the title song sung by Connie Francis. The film, which made its world premiere at the Classic Gateway Theater on Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, is a fascinating look at Fort Lauderdale Beach circa 1960 and has been credited with putting Fort Lauderdale on the map as the first spring break destination. Here's how the movie opens.
For 50 weeks of the year, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is a small corner of tropical heaven, basking contentedly in the warm sun. During the other 2 weeks, as colleges all over the country disgorge their students for Easter vacation, a change comes over the scene. The students swarm to these peaceful shores in droves, 20,000 strong. They turn night into day, and the small corner of heaven into a sizable chunk of bedlam. The boys come to soak up the sun and a few carloads of beer. The girls come, very simply, because this is where the boys are.
On Friday, July 10th, the Filmed in Broward series presents Rock of Ages, the 2012 film adaptation of the hit Broadway musical that showcases 80s hair band rock and roll. I know what you're thinking, which is, doesn't that movie take place on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles? And you're absolutely correct, it does. But in reality, it shot more in Hollywood, Florida than it did in Hollywood, California. I remember when the film was in production and a casting call was distributed to South Florida Press looking for extras in the form of mid-1980s rockers and or conservative sticks in the mud who condemn headbangers and all they stand for. There was also an open call to attend a concert within the film. Instructions were to meet at Dolphin Stadium at 1 p.m. on a hot July day, which, by the way, is why I didn't go. I'm not a fan of standing around in heat and sun and humidity and maybe, only maybe, being able to see my face in the background of a crowd scene. Little did I know, participants were being bused to the Seminole Hard Rock Arena to watch Tom Cruise as rock star Stacey Jacks sing Bon Jovi's Wanted Dead or Alive. Curiously, Rock of Ages isn't the only film to shoot in Broward, but have the story in the movie take place elsewhere. For Caddyshack, which again screens on Thursday, July 16th, director Harold Ramis wanted the movie to look like it was set in the Midwest, which is why the Rolling Hills Golf Club in Davie, now known as the Grand Oaks, was chosen. When the film shot there in the summer of 1979, it didn't have palm trees, but did feature a number of oak trees, which gave it a distinct Midwestern feel. Other scenes in Caddyshack were shot in South Florida as well, including the pool scenes at the Plantation Country Club and the dinner and dancing at the Boca Raton Hotel and Club. Of course, Rock of Ages and Caddyshack are the exceptions to the rule. Obviously, most of the films shot in South Florida are meant to take place in South Florida. Dog lovers will fondly recall the 2008 film Marley and Me, in which Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston adopt an uncontrollable Labrador retriever that drives them crazy. The film, which screens on Sunday, July 12th at Cinema Paradiso, features a montage of events shot throughout South Florida. Here's a quick listen to the start of the sequence.
Woke up to a kiss from Marley, went for a walk that turned into a run, took an airboat ride, wrote a column about the death of the Everglades, planted an orange tree in the backyard, threw sticks for Marley in the park, watched him swim in the bay, watched him steal some guy's frisbee, bought a new frisbee from the guy, gave Marley a bath, went to work with writer's block, hoped for inspiration to strike, nada. Got a new shirt, got a new keyboard, got the same old paycheck, went windsurfing with Sebastian, met his new girlfriend, Sasha, met his other new girlfriend, Angie, watched models posing in the surf, wrote a column about the growth of South Beach, interviewed Gloria and Emilio Estefan at the Cardoso Hotel, introduced him to Jenny who gushed like a teenager, went shopping at the mall, bought a Sharper Image pillow, slept like a baby, caught Marley eating the pillow, hid the evidence from Jenny, cleaned up Marley's vomit in the kitchen, helped Jenny make dinner, overcooked the spaghetti, got into a food fight, proofread Jenny's column, read Sebastian's latest opus, went running with Marley to burn off frustration, didn't him chew through the leash. Chased him 15 blocks. Had to call Jenny for a ride.
Now, for the sake of your curiosity, other films shot in Broward County that are not part of the Filmed in Broward screening series include the erotic thriller Wild Things, Julianne Moore's The Hours, the comedy classic Porky's, Oliver Stone's football drama Any Given Sunday, the Robert Redford drama Up Close and Personal, and the TV show Dexter, among many others. More titles that are part of the Filmed in Broward screening series that you can check out at Cinema Paradiso July 9th through the 16th include There's Something About Mary, Body Heat, The Birdcage, Striptease, Analyze This, Ace Ventura Pet Detective, True Lies, Out of Sight, and more. Admittedly, some of these are more Miami-Dade than Broward-based, but they're nonetheless all a joy to watch with ready eyes as we eagerly look for locations we recognize. And that's the appeal of the Filmed in Broward series, isn't it? Maybe it's me and the fact that I grew up in suburban Connecticut, where very little of note ever happened, so I always think it's cool to see where I live on the big screen. But there's a fun fascination in seeing how places can be changed to suit the needs of Hollywood. And that's Hollywood as in Los Angeles this time, not Florida. Sure, you can rent these titles and watch them at home, but admission is free, and there's no better way to honor your hometown than to enjoy it on the big screen with your fellow locals. The Filmed in Broward screening series begins Thursday, July 9th and runs through the 16th at Cinema Paradiso, 503 Southeast 6th Street in Fort Lauderdale. For a complete schedule of the series and more information on the theater's year-round programming, go to fliff.com or call 954-525-3456. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at punchdrunkmovies.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I want the fram-fram sauce with the arse and fame, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is chicken wings. Chicken wings, or if the original name is to be conjured, buffalo chicken wings, are the lofty topic of A Word on Food this day. Buffalo, especially given their winter weather, might have been the most perfect American city to have created such a diversionary dish. But now, buffalo wings, like karaoke, belong to the world. Buffalo wings originated at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York in 1964 when, according to legend, the owner, Miss Teresa Bellissimo, received a large order of chicken wings from her supplier and served them with a, and I quote, hot pepper sauce. It is a disconnect for many of us probing the origins of this dish to square up the notion of an Italian-American creating something of such firepower. As grand as the sweep of Italian cuisine is, chili peppers do not figure much beyond a whiff of cayenne, and that is usually within the cloaking comfort of a creamy cheese sauce. There are stories of an African-American named John Young who claimed he invented the signature hot sauce, which he called Mambo sauce. Before I go and find my Louis Prima record to see if there's a connection between his huge hit, please don't make me sing it. Let's move out of the mire of potential food history squabbles. Increasingly, the mode d'emploi is to dip the crispy varmint parts into an Asian-styled hot sauce, or sometimes the kitchen does this spicing and they come fire-infused. In the online show, The Mind of a Chef, one of my favorite chef pals, Sean Brock, goes to visit a place in Nashville specifically for their nuclear hot chicken. The place, Prince's by name, is situated next to a body waxing salon in a strip mall. Torture can be paid for in our country by customers who return again and again. As Sean and a buddy of his begin to lift the "you've been warned" chicken to their lips, the kindly looking proprietor lady advised with a sweet drawl, "Don't even touch your facial skin after using your hands to eat that, or any other body part." The two adventurous men start off and seem to be fine. But after a few bites, the capsaicin in the chilies that drench that bird's flesh begin to hit them, and a near psychotropic journey begins for these brave eaters. This is a long-ass way from Buffalo style. And yet, When it comes to handling the heat of chilies, each person's tolerance is specific to them. As we munched ours, my wife, Janet, was making speedier progress with her draft beer than she normally does. I thought I noticed a bead of sweat. She would inform me, if I pointed that out, Catholic girls do not sweat. It is one of the phrases that makes us smile in these years that now fly faster than a buffalo's wings. She said, "Let's take the last 6 wings home. I'm going to tone these babies down with my dad's barbecue sauce." That barbecue sauce is a known panacea within the extended family, largely due to Janet. Though the place near the University of Miami beer-centric establishment did not call them buffalo chicken wings on their menu, they did have one item on the bill of fare with a geographical appellation utilizing buffalo. Buffalo flatbreads. Now, I wonder what they could be all about. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Hey, mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, mambo. Mambo Italiano. Oh, oh, oh. You mixed up
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Ms. Jody Horn-Leshinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, I know there's so much going on in Broward County. Let's hear about it.
Well, as you know, Ed, 2015 is Broward County's 100th birthday, and we are still celebrating. And earlier, your listeners heard Dan Hudak talking about the film in Broward. We are so excited because Broward 100 and the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival are working together to bring a week-long film festival of films made in Broward. And all the films will be shown at Cinema Paradiso in Fort Lauderdale, July 9th through the 16th. And the best part of all, Ed, admission is free to all screenings.
Bravo.
Free. So filmed in Broward, a real celebration of cinema, will also include Flashback Broward. And this is a narrated screening from the Lynn and Lewis Wolfson Florida Moving Images Archives. And it will feature snippets of Broward through the decades, so you can see parades back in the 1930s and all sorts of fun stuff. And best of all, you don't want to miss the closing night party. Once again, on a different note, I am so proud of the Broward Cultural Division creative team. They are the recipients of 7 National Awards of Excellence from the National Association of County Information Officers for information projects that exhibit expertise in communications. And this included a Best in Class for the Cultural Quarterly Flipbook. So very, very proud indeed.
Bravo.
One of the cornerstones of Broward 100 is called Visualize. And part of it is a mural project. And we will end up with 10 murals throughout Broward by the end of the year. And the first mural, which is entitled Reflections, was just completed, and it's located in Port Everglades, and the artist is Bill Savarese. And it's an acrylic on stucco abstract, and it was ultimately inspired by the Everglades and how water influences pigment. So I know you're waiting to hear about sanctioned events for Broward 100. On Saturday, the Kickin' It Country Music Festival takes place at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater from 5 to 11 p.m. And Grammy award-winning crooner Taylor Hicks highlights a day of contemporary and classic country sounds on 2 stages. If you're interested in art, the NSU Art Museum Fort Lauderdale presents Road Between the Wines, Create Dangerously on July 2nd at 6 p.m. The museum's discussion group will also include Create Dangerously, The Immigrant Artist at Work by Edwidge Danticat. Now through August 28th, opening at 10 a.m. daily, the Anson Family Art Gallery, located in the Miramar Cultural Center, presents the Caribbean Colorful Diversity Exhibition in honor of Caribbean American Heritage Month. The exhibition features a comprehensive collection of artwork from internationally established artists. Escape the Ordinary takes place during the Broward County Library's Adult Summer Reading Program at 26 library locations throughout the summer. You can read books, win prizes, and enjoy a summer's worth of fun to escape the ordinary. On July 3rd at 8 p.m., Brazilian Sessions presents the Phil Fest Duo. Award-winning Brazilian-American guitarist Phil Fest brings his unique style along with vocalist Jacqueline Medeiros to present an intimate night of Brazilian music at Baca, which is up in Pompano Beach. The City of Fort Lauderdale Parks and Recreation Department has launched its new live music series, Friday Night Sound Waves, featuring some of South Florida's best musical talents performing an eclectic range of genres, including jazz, blues, big band, swing, indie rock, salsa, and classic Americana. Set against the magnificent backdrop of Fort Lauderdale Beach, the Friday Night Sound Waves Summer Music Series takes place every Friday night from 5:30 to 8:30. Tonight, don't miss Across the Universe, a Beatles tribute band. The Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida presents Street of Dreams, a tribute to Broadway on Saturday at 8 p.m. at Bailey Concert Hall on the campus of Broward College in Davie. With special guests Tony nominee and Platinum Award-winning songwriter Ann Hampton Calloway. On Saturday at 4 p.m., the Miramar Cultural Center presents Evolution Dance's production of Once Upon a Time. This will be an evening of magic and wonder and is appropriate for all ages. Iron Forge Press and ArtServe are pleased to present South Florida's first showing of the Gig Poster, collectible works featuring the premier local rock artists showcasing pieces from more than a decade of work, this Saturday at the Arts Bunker in Wilton Manors from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a free night with music, food, craft beer, and collectible art. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And thanks again to Ms. Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division, for all of that great arts information. Great weekend to you, Jody.
Thank you, Ed. You too.
South Florida's newest jazz big band will perform June 29th as part of the Miami Jazz Co-op Rent Party, of which I'm a proud co-founder. Their rent parties take place every Monday at 8 p.m. at the Open Stage Club, 2325 Galliano Street in Coral Gables. It's free for students with ID, and the 14 Jazz Orchestra, South Florida's newest jazz big band, will be featuring Dan Bonsanti and Joe Donato and many other South Florida jazz giants. The 14 Jazz Orchestra, Monday, June 29th at 8 p.m. July 13th, Mike Gerber and Ira Sullivan perform. July 20th, it's a Cole Porter tribute with jam leader Howie Schneider at the Open Stage Club in Coral Gables. More info at miamijazz.org. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Andy Wagner is our technical director today. Paul Leary is our online producer. We'd like to thank our contributors, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Leschinski. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. That's Monday at 1 o'clock. Please have yourself a great weekend, and as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.